There are many important offices in the world today that come with much honor and prestige and huge responsibilities. We can only think of being the President of the United States, the CEO of a major corporation, the governor. But what would you think and how lofty would you evaluate the role of an elder in Christ's church? We get some insight about its importance from the words of James Garfield, as you know, became one of our president, the 20th president of the United States. He was a member of the Lord's church, and at one time he was an elder in the congregation which he attended. And here's what he said when he became the president of the United States. I resign the highest office in the land to become the president of the United States. What office was he speaking of? But being an elder or an overseer, or it's called also a shepherd in the Lord's church. See, he had the proper estimation of that office and that position of shepherding the souls of those who are trying to make their way home to be with God in heaven. He served less than 4 months before he was assassinated. But he was a faithful member, as we're going to see, to the Lord's church until his death. Today, we're going to appoint another shepherd for the Church of Christ here at South Salem. The process started before the end of last year, and I was asked by the elders to speak about the role of an elder, and it's appropriate that we do so before we have our appointment this morning. Because of the seriousness of that position. And afterwards, we ask you all to remain seated, and we will actually go through an appointment ceremony as Jeff Walker is appointed as your new shepherd in this congregation. But let's look, would you, with me, at just some background of where this concept perhaps came from of an eldership. We see all the way back in the book of Exodus, where Moses had delivered the children of Israel, they're called the Assembly of God, the Lord, out of Egyptian captivity and all the way up into the south of the Promised Land. And he was dealing one man with hundreds of thousands of people. And at one time, his father-in-law came to him. And he saw that Moses had spent night and day hearing people's cases and dealing with their issues. So Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to him and said, "The thing that you're doing, it's not good. Both these people who are with you, they will surely wear yourself out. You're going to wear out, Moses. You can't handle this the way you're going. You're not able to perform it all by yourself." He says, "The task is too heavy for you, and you can't do it alone." So he advised him to find men that met certain qualifications to come and assist him. And if the Lord commanded him to do so, he would do that, and he would have help in this task in leading the children of Israel. We find another occasion that is very similar in chapter 11. When the people come before Moses and they're demanding food, and he goes, "How can I do this? You know, I'm alone." And so he cries to his God. And I want you to hear the words that he gives us in chapter 11, in verse 14. Moses says this to his prayer to God: "I'm not able to bear all these people alone." He says, "God, I can't do it because the burden is just too heavy for me. It's just too burdensome." In verse 15, "If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." He was so overwhelmed with the task at hand, he chose death over life. That's when God said to Moses in verse 18 or 16, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders, whom you know to be the elders of the people, officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle meeting that they may stand there with you. then I will come down and talk with you, and I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same Spirit on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you might not bear it yourself alone." So God has him appoint 70 other men, elders, to help him lead the children of Israel. Now we certainly see a precedent there, don't we? It's too hard for one man to do it alone. So as we move forward from the Old Testament history and move forward to the first century church, we see that God, in his wisdom, implemented a structure where every congregation was led by a plurality of elders. We see it, first of all, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, that when Paul is on his first missionary journey, he backtracks to all the congregations that he had established with Barnabas. And here we find they appointed elders. I highlighted the S so you would note that there's always a plurality. It's always too much for one man to do. And one man is never a sole dictator over a church. But there is always a plurality of elders in every church or congregation of believers had their own eldership that led them. And notice the seriousness in which they approached this appointing. It says, with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. With much prayer and fasting. Now, fasting is going without food, and it's often associated with going to God in prayer because of a seriousness of something before you. And so no doubt this was a collective call for everyone to cease eating, spending that time in prayer to God as these men were appointed elders over that congregation. Why so much effort? Because of the seriousness of this role. And so we see then that they're not just any men. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as Titus in chapter 1, the qualifications that a man must have if he desires the office of an elder and wishes to be appointed. And he says this in the letter to Timothy, the young evangelist who's at Ephesus. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires or desires the office of an overseer, it's a good work or a fine work which he desires. So then an overseer must be, then he lists the qualifications. There's no wiggle room that if this man's going to oversee or shepherd a flock and serve as an elder, he must have these qualities. And he gives them and lists them in chapters 3, verses 1 through 7. And I just want you to know these qualifications aren't there to disqualify someone. They're there for you to select among yourselves someone that is qualified. Someone that you can just naturally rises up as a mature Christian, that you can have confidence that they would be a shepherd according to God's standards. Let me just highlight four of the qualifications. And by grouping some of them together, first of all, he says they got to be above reproach. You can't have someone that has a foot in the world and a foot following the Lord leading us, because they will lead us all to our doom. But they have to be a person, when you look at their life, you can say, well done. Doesn't mean they're perfect. But when they make mistakes, they're humble enough to correct them, ask for forgiveness, and keep moving on. It says they're supposed to be able to manage their household well. That's a curious statement, having believing children. But the explanation is given to us. Because if they can't raise their children, how are they going to raise up spiritual children and souls who are trying to become like Christ? But they've already proven themselves. They know how to raise godly children. And so we would want them to lead us in raising us up spiritually as well. And so when it says manage their children, we know I skipped approachable. That's why he says they have to be kind and hospitable and not a striker. They're a person you can talk to. And when you have problems, you want to go to them because you know they'll listen. You know they have compassion. You know they've been through it and they can give you some advice or at least take you to the person that will give you the proper advice. And so these people don't manage budgets. These elders don't manage buildings or facilities. What do they manage? They manage people's souls. They help nurture and facilitate a walk in Christ that will lead us to heaven. And then finally, it says in the qualifications, they're able to teach. Because the one single thing that's going to feed our souls the most as shepherds lead us as sheep to spiritual maturity, it's the Word of God. And so they must be able to teach, not necessarily publicly, but privately. They can sit down and show you God's word and what it would have to say to you and the answers to your problems and point you in the right way. That's how the first century church was started and how it was structured. And so today, following that same principle, we are a church, a congregation of God's people with a plurality of elders. And when a man desires that office and is qualified, it's too much work for two people to do alone. And as men are qualified, we will continue to add them to the overseer or the office of the eldership. Because as our numbers grow, hopefully our eldership grows in number as well, as men become more mature and qualified. And that's why we're having this service today. And that's what takes us to the passage that JC read for us. And I invite you to open your Bibles because it really is an exhortation to our elders and to the congregation. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is writing and he introduces himself as a fellow elder. So he also was an elder in the Lord's church, wherever he worshiped. Therefore, verse 1, I exhort you, the fellow elders among you, and as your fellow elder, and the witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. And here's his exhortation. First of all, shepherd the flock, because as overseers, your primary job is to lead the flock. Protect from them, from those that would lead them astray with false teaching. Make sure you feed them so they're equipped for their own work of service, so they all grow spiritually, and correcting those that fall astray, and then disciplining those that refuse to repent altogether. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, not some other congregation, but each and every individual here, not without partiality, regarding the soul of everyone equal as heirs in the inheritance that is to come to all of us. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Now that's interesting. They are overseers, but they do not rule or dictate in the sense that governors or presidents might. This oversight is similar to an overseer in the Old Testament where they'll call out warnings so they can protect the children of Israel when there are attacks coming. And when we're overlooking the flock as an elder, we're watching out for their safety and we're making sure they're protected from false teachings and the schemes of Satan. We're leading them to a greener pastures of God's word so they can grow. When I say we, I'm not including myself. I'm speaking of the elders at large. And in the end, I want you to consider Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, speaking to us. For they keep watch. That's the idea of oversee. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, perhaps this could be understood. They're going to have to give an account for how they shepherd you. And there's no doubt that is going to be the case. But I would understand this text to say they're going to give an account for you of how you lived your life on this earth in submission to the leadership of the church. They're going to have to give an account to God of how you lived your life and how you responded to their leadership. It might go like this. As the next person comes up and says, they're speaking to an elder, could you give me a report on Bruce or Dave or Esther? And they say, well, that person, every time I think of him, it just brings me joy. And they said, let them do this with gladness and not with grief, because that would not be profitable for who? It says, for you. There will be some people, when God asks that elder to give an account of that person, they go, oh, Lord, I worked so hard with that person, spent many hours of prayer and many hours of counsel walking with them, and they just didn't want to follow you. And they brought such grief to the church because of their choice and their actions. See, that's giving an account for each of us to the Lord. Who are they giving account of? Not themselves, but you and me. So we're charged to submit to our leadership of our shepherds, because someday they'll stand before God on your behalf and say things that you'd want them to say or things that would be grievous for you. So he says, exercise oversight. And then he goes on and back in 1 Peter 5, he says, do this not for sordid gain, but eagerly. There's an eagerness that they serve, because you could not be paid enough to be an elder, or for that matter, an elder's wife. I hope we realize or have just an appreciation for the countless hours they spend praying, talking to people, talking about issues, putting out fires, trying to direct the church in the way it should go, and how often their wives sit on the back bench waiting for their husbands to come out of a meeting. Sometimes it's hours. And that's why he says, if you have to do it under compulsion, you shouldn't be one. But they eagerly serve because they care about our souls. And that's why we esteem them highly for their work's sake. He goes on to say, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Verse 3, not lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving yourself to be an example to the flock. Lording it over means saying, that's the way it is because I'm an elder. But no, how do they lead us? By their example. Let me just say this. The duty of an elder is not to decide what doctrine is. Their job is to teach doctrine and lead you to God's word and correct people when they get involved in false doctrine. But true doctrine has already been decided, hasn't it? And so their job is just to feed us the truth. And it's your job to listen and to learn for yourself as well. Their job is not to manage, as I said, funds and facilities. That's the deacon's job, if anyone. In the early church, they did not have treasuries like we have today. They did not set up as corporations. They did not have facilities because it was illegal to even own a building if you were a church. So what did the shepherds do if they had none of those things at their disposal? They shepherd souls. They proved themselves an example to the children of God amongst them. They showed you how to be a better father, how to be a better husband. They showed by their example how to be hospitable. They showed how to be caring and forgiving. They showed how to go into the lost and teach them the gospel. Those are the examples the world desperately needs, don't they? And that's the instruction that Peter, a fellow elder, gives the elders of any congregation. And then the exhortation, of course, to us, each of us, in verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and clothe yourself with humility. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Is there any benefit for being an elder? Is there any reward? It's certainly not the honor of men, but verse 4 reveals to us that what I believe is something beyond just being in heaven. Well, let's read it. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory, that they will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Their reward will not come in this lifetime, except from the love that you show them and the appreciation you give them, but their true reward will come in heaven. There's where we have elders among us. That's God's plan, and that's what we're going to continue with God's help to implement in this congregation at South Salem. And so at this time, we're going to appoint Jeff Walker as the next elder and the newest elder of this church at South Salem. And so I'm going to ask the elders to come forward, the sitting elders, and sit on the right side of my right side right now. And then Jeff Walker, if you'd come up as well. And we're going to have this appointment take place. First, Hewlin Miller is going to introduce this service and by reviewing the process and how we got to where we are right now. Then we will ask Jeff to make his commitment before God and each of you that he desires this office and will faithfully serve it. Then Jack Barrett will appoint him as an elder and give him his personal charge. And then we will have a charge to the congregation. And then Jeff will have his opportunity to make some comments to the brethren. Then we'll have a closing song, "Blessed Be the Tie." It's on the board, so you might mark it now. And then we'll have our closing prayer by Jack Barrett. At this time, I'll turn the time over to Hewlin.
Thanks, Jack. The remaining part of our service, of course, will be, as the executive introduced, the procedure for appointing Jeff Walker as an elder of this South Salem Church of Christ. The scriptures don't exactly say the procedure, you know, step one, step two, step three, and how to set this in motion. So I'm going to read the qualifications of the elder, and Jack's alluded to most of those already, but I had planned to do this, so I'm going to do it. It's only seven verses, so be patient. Then I'll read one other verse, and we proceed from there. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, nor violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snares of the devil. That's the qualifications found in 1 Timothy, first seven verses of chapter 3. One other verse I'd like to read with you is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And the next verse starts with three words: pray for us.
Amen.
That's all I can ask you to do, is pray for us. And if my voice has a little tremble in it, if you don't understand what I read, you don't understand at all why my voice has a little tremble in it. This is a very, very, very serious matter. We're going to be held before God responsible for our actions. And I just pray that the Lord will be pleased. But when you read those qualifications, it's embarrassing to me. I know stand up to the full qualifications that is outlined there. I'm a human being. I'm weak. I fall short. But the Lord will forgive. And I have one of the most supportive wives in this congregation to support me in my work every day of my life. She's a wonderful lady, and without her, I couldn't do it. And I told her I wouldn't embarrass her, so I'll quit right there, okay? we didn't really follow a specific procedure in setting this in motion, so we have read you do the qualifications, and two things that really are exciting to me. One is Jeff desires the office. I have talked to Jeff personally. Jack and I have talked to him collectively. In fact, all four of us, Jack Hafer as well, have talked about Jeff, his desire to be an elder. And he does desire that office, and I commend him for that. And the other thing is exciting is, without any hesitation, I can say that you, the congregation at South Salem Church of Christ, put his name forward without any hesitation at all. The greatest I've ever seen the congregation put forth a name for a person to serve in this position. So you have chosen Jeff, and I just pray that you'll work with him. And if any time, any place, any hour of the day, give us a call if we can help in any way. Here again, it makes you feel like you're about that tall when you read those qualifications. But just pray for us, and we'll do our best. With that being said, we'll proceed. And Jack, I think you're next. You're okay.
Thank you, Gil.
It's appropriate this time, with everyone still gathered, to hear a commitment from Jeff as to his desire and his commitment to fulfill his office as a shepherd or an elder. And so we're glad you're here. I'm glad his family's here. If you don't know him, it's Marissa Walker is his wife, his two boys, Danny and Dylan Walker. And I see Michelle's back there. It's Casper right now, and your husband. Glad you're with us. And I'm going to ask the elders to stand at this time over here, and then Jeff, if you would stand as well. So Jeff, that so that the church may hear that you're willing to take up this office willingly and in the presence of God and this congregation of believers, would you just answer yes to these questions? Do you desire and willfully accept the appointment as an elder of this congregation at South Salem?
Yes, I do.
Do you promise before God and these brethren to faithfully fulfill the role of an elder, being both an example and serving this church as a shepherd serves his flock to the best of your ability and with God's help?
Yes, I do.
All right. I might, you guys just join together in front then? And then Jack? Are you going to do it up there with him, hold his hand?
Jeff, you have affirmed your commitment by answering the questions that were just asked. And since you have been selected by the elders and this congregation through the recognition of your qualifications and there being no scriptural objections raised, you are hereby appointed as an elder to help oversee this congregation as a shepherd of the South Salem Church of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations, sir. I'm looking forward to serving with you.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now that you have been appointed an elder, Hewlett and I now charge you to be diligent in the leadership of the church, which is committed to you jointly with us as elders. Be a good shepherd of God's flock, which is under your care, serving as an overseer, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Be faithful in all things and ensure that pure doctrine and godly living are maintained by all. Be diligent in these matters, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Amen. Let me introduce to you our elders, Hewlin Miller, Jack Barrett, and now Jeff Walker. And let me charge. And let me likewise give a charge to the congregation to respect those who work hard among you, your elders, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work. Submit to them as your leaders and to their authority, because they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for them and their family. Encourage them as they faithfully work to glorify God, to build up this church and draw the lost to Christ. Thank you. Now we're going to let Jeff make his comments. Afterwards, we'll sing Bless Be the Tie, and then we'll have our closing prayer.
Glory be to God in everything that we do each and every day of our life. As I stand before this congregation, I see so many people that I've known and have known me my whole life. And some I look out and I've seen that have only known me a short time. But I thank all of you for your Christian fellowship, your faith, and your personal relationships. I thank God for his guidance and his grace in my life. I do take this appointment very seriously, and I'm honored to serve this group. I'm also encouraged by your support and look forward to working with more of you in doing the Lord's work. I am humbled by this opportunity, and I pledge again to serve to the best of my ability. All I ask of you is your patience and your willingness to work with me. The eldership works as a team, so if I can also help you in any way, I invite you to please contact me for anything that you may need. I thank my family. I thank you again. May the Lord bless the work here as we help one another get to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, so it can be read at the end of all of our lives, that I've fought the good fight, and I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. For if we miss heaven, we've missed it all. Thank you.
Do you want to sing that song, or do you want to have the
prayer? After the prayer, we invite you all to come up and greet the elders, especially Jeff. And so let's sing number 76, the first, second,